runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 811, Getting a Security Audit with guest Pollyanna Shevitz. Recorded Monday, December 21st, 2021. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. Bringing back one of my favorites today, Pollyanna Shevitz is here. And Paula is an IT security auditor, penetration tester, enterprise security MVP, and trainer for a Microsoft Security Trusted Advisor, as well as one of the best speakers I've ever seen. Never let her near your computer. She's very dangerous with a rubber duck. Welcome back, Paula. Thank you so much for coming back on the show again. And tell me, 2021, craziest security year ever?
Yeah, I would say so, because that was the year where there were lots of statistics showing us that amount of attacks has grown up. And the problem is that that these stats are not really becoming smaller, so right. To say. For example, FBI summarized that amount of attacks increased by 300%. There are another Interpol statistic saying it's 569%.
Crazy.
So all these numbers are absolutely crazy.
Now, and I do appreciate, and I've done some shows in this area about as ransomware grew, as these organizations became more visible, these criminal organizations, the good guys came and smashed them. Like, but it does feel like they smashed the anthill. Like, it's a lot of the ants just fled. But it seems like ransomware as a service is kind of going away, because if you run a service like that, they'll come and get you.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, another interesting perspective is that access to other companies is sold on dark web. And we were recently dealing with a project like that, where we've got a customer where they approached us to verify whether for real hackers who sell access to their infrastructure, is this real access or is it fake, and so on. So we were also investigating that.
Wow. And can you say anything? Was the access real? Like, it's the funny thing about the dark web, right? They bad guys work in all directions.
True. But you also check reputation of the person that, well, there are many factors, of course,
right,
we should take into consideration. One is like reputation of the person who actually sells it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one is approximately 50%. That is already quite good, because access changes and passwords, they change, yeah, mm-hmm, and so on. So in general, like, it's very dynamic thing that we are dealing with. So dynamic infrastructure, dynamic solutions, settings of applications, and so on. So in this particular case, it was not true.
Right.
But they were not able to see it until you technically pay for it.
Right.
So we were investigating, like, what kind of ways that could be potentially, because nobody at the end wants to pay money to hackers.
Yeah.
So eventually we were checking whether, like, something that's like describing it at least could be fitting into different components of the infrastructure. And we were also doing the pen test for that one. So we were verifying what kind of activities we got that are possible, and eventually the things that this person was saying were not real.
Which is, that's good news, but it sort of speaks to how far the dark web has come and the kind of services that are out there. I've also been paying attention to this sort of exploit approach to, or the using of internal people, basically getting them on board so that they get a cut. I'm pretty close to I've been talking to IT folks about, you need to talk about this with your users and say, hey, listen, these are criminals. They say they'll pay you. They're lying. And you will get caught. And you're not in a foreign country where we're hard to reach you. You're right here. And this is a crime.
Yeah, it's a very good perspective. Yes, it's another part of the security awareness training that should be introduced to companies. That's why, for example, and I'm glad that you mentioned it, when we think about designing, say, cybersecurity for the organization, that should be actually part of that. So not just a regular security awareness training when you talk about email security, Wi-Fi security, and so on, but also about potential situations. And of course, when we think social engineering, we would rather think that someone gets to the building, drops the pen drive, or someone uses social engineering techniques, maybe through email, so we have phishing at the end. But that kind of things are also important because it's also a crime, like you mentioned. So it's a crime that someone could commit.
But this is another kind of social engineering, ultimately.
Exactly, exactly.
To say, hey, we'll pay you to give us access to your infrastructure, to your company's infrastructure. Don't worry, they've got cyber insurance. This is a no victim crime. All lies.
You're not hurting them.
Well, and I'm really lately just stopped using the word hacker because I think it's still got positive connotations. They're criminals. They're not doing this for the science or the exploits or the lols. They're doing it for money. They're criminals.
They are criminals, and it's a very lucrative business for sure.
For better or worse. So talk to me about security audits. Why do I want one, or when do I know that I need one?
Well, first of all, you need one and you want one because you have a mature approach to cybersecurity and in general to security of your company. Mm-hmm. And you care about business continuity. You care about the risk and the way how you handle it. And mainly, you take care about your business because any impact on the infrastructure impacts your business.
Right.
So it's not really an IT service. Therefore, of course, it is. Yeah. But at the end, it's a very business-related service, or rather business continuity and operations-related service.
Yeah. And I recently did a show with Jess Dodson down in Australia, and we were talking about Log4j and the problem around like the software bill of materials, just sort of understanding what your exposure looks like, where what applications use what and where that would be. And it feels to me like as I pulled that information together about my organization, I would like to feed it to security professionals to say, tell me my level of risk, like help me communicate to leadership about the exposure we have based on the software you're using and the infrastructure that we have.
Yeah, so absolutely. The Log4j was quite an interesting thing that happened and definitely came as a surprise to all of us. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we should traumatize about it. But on the other hand, when we think about the perfect IT security infrastructure on the other side with the privileged access management, with the lack of possibility to perform the lateral movement in between machines and so on, then the Log4j, it's a case, but it won't spread that much.
Right. Well, and you're the one who taught me this, Paula. You can't stop the pen tester. They're going to penetrate at some point somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a mistake in phishing. It's going to be a 0 day. It's going to be something. It's what happens after that that matters.
Absolutely.
This idea that there is no perimeter, that just because you got to one machine, now you have to find a new exploit for the next machine. Mm-hmm. You get as far as one service exploited. That's all you get. Yeah.
That would be perfect. Yeah, that is exactly what we want. And when I look at security within the company, I see that truly as different like levels, different lines, different scopes. Mm-hmm. That, of course, when we look at the workstation security, it's not only antivirus solution. We all know that, of course, but it's also anti-exploitation solution. Sure. It's also a solution that logically correlates events. And for example, we've got in Windows attack surface reduction rules that are implementing us very like detailed, very concrete items, behaviors that, for example, you are not allowed to through Office applications to open the child processes. Yeah, so these are simple mechanisms. These are also simple like techniques, paths that the hackers would choose. And these are the ones that are in details blocked.
Right.
But that's, of course, not everything. Firewall comes to place, well configured. So you got processes that are not allowed to communicate over the network. So the processes that you don't know. And there are so many levels like this that when you look at the holistic, when you look at the cybersecurity from the holistic perspective, then you would see why pentest is important, because it could investigate different area of your infrastructure and also see where apparently in security you've got missing points that you could address later, because this system communicates with that organization in a very insecure way. Normally, you will not see it even as a misconfiguration.
Right. Yeah, you're not even aware of it. So maybe that's the thing. I'm thinking about two aspects of an audit for me. One is, what have I missed? Mm-hmm. But I'm also thinking about the credibility play. I have to talk to management about getting money and resources to work on this problem. And so in some ways, I feel like having that external audit to help mm-hmm. show that I've made a good prioritized list, that I am thinking the right way about how to improve security over time. I just think that adds credibility to the equation. Persuading leadership is hard. These are not money-making exercises. You know, to me, it feels no different than I want to change all the door locks in the building to a better lock. You know, it's probably secure, but your pushback is always going to be, isn't the existing lock good enough?
Absolutely. So it's a matter of so many things that are connected together. Mm-hmm. And it's always that when we get to the infrastructure, we always find something. Yeah, right. There's always something. And like the other side, so the company, so that our customer eventually should not be afraid of that. Of course, it's for good. Yeah, it's not to show that someone made a configuration mistakes or architecture mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's to get someone's opinion about what is happening. And of course, depending on a pen test, whether it's going to be the web application pen test, so it's a conversation with developers on the other side, whether it's an infrastructure pen test, so discussion with IT pros and so on. So it's always a matter of so many factors that are connected together.
And is it typical to do pen testing as part of an audit to actually challenge the infrastructure, try different things as part of the audit process?
You know, like I don't want to be like too pompatic about the theory, but in general, the audit is similar to pen test.
Right.
Like that kind of a difference in verbiage. Of course, it still exists, but still, I mean, putting it into practical world, some people call it an audit, some people call it a pen test. Mm-hmm. Pen test tends to be more, in some way, aggressive. So you were acting as a hacker, right? And then when you find something, you are exploiting it. But again, like both of the approaches, they have their own rules. For example, if you find an exploit, it doesn't mean that you are allowed to use it on a customer's network. Of course not, because it might be that that's going to touch the production.
Sure. Well, it's one thing to do the penetration. It's another thing to deploy a payload. Right. I would presume.
Yeah.
So it would make sense if you find there's a port open that you didn't think should be open, you're able to call into it and get to a service, and you sort of follow the path to see how far it gets you before you do harm, at least.
Absolutely. And let me tell you here a really funny story that happened to us recently. So we've been doing the pen test to the factory environment, which of course everybody needs to be careful there and so on. So we are always asking questions, verifying what kind of things we should watch out for and so on. So the person who was responsible for that was like, yep, there is nothing, pretty much nothing. So this is the internal network. That's the range of IP addresses. Go ahead and just test them. And we started with basic scans. And with like some simple responder attacks. Yeah. So It's like a very, very easy.
Who's listening where? Right.
Who's listening where? And a little bit of loading and that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So eventually, can you believe that we have stopped the whole production?
You shut them down.
Because of that. Exactly. So obviously that.
So crashing a switch or crashing a router, something like that, it just stops the communication work.
The machines stop. The machines in the factory stop because that was their emergency activity that they have implemented against the attack. So they are shutting down and that's it. And they wait. Yeah.
So their attack detection strategy worked and shut down the machines for safety.
And it was quite funny because obviously that was in the middle of the night. That was like absolutely an emergency situation.
Right.
There were some people that were woken up at the time and some people that were not happy. So we had to technically verify what was the situation.
Right.
And what was the thing? And I think it was at the end pretty good, was that they said that they always wanted to test that scenario.
Right.
And that this time it and it worked out, and you did, absolutely. And it was a fantastic lesson.
Well, it sounds like the system worked as intended, right? That they had a flood attack, they recognized it a flood attack, they protected the equipment and triggered the warning system.
Absolutely. And of course, there are many details underneath, what they wanted and so on. And like some people did not know about it, but some people knew. But eventually, it ended up very well, which was pretty great situation, because they at the end could test their strategy, could test their behavior, and they evaluated. Okay, so in these terms, that worked pretty well, and so on. So it was one of the most interesting projects.
Except that there were people who didn't know, thought it was a real attack, and there was a bunch of adrenaline had been pumped at that point too. Then to find out.
At the very first moment, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But you bring up an interesting point, which is that some of these tests are potentially disruptive, if not necessarily destructive. That they, you know, one of the ways you breach a firewall is you flood it with packets. You do a ping of death or a DDoS, and that is going to affect other traffic while it's being used.
Absolutely. But of course, we have to mention that everything is just a matter of agreement with the customer, what kind of things we can do, what kind of things we should do, what's the scope, and so on. So we will never approach any infrastructure without any permission, any like no definition of what we're going to do. Everything is super clear. And that is also very important.
Right.
A lesson that I've learned in the past, that if it's not super clear, and that was like years back, then of course that can backfire.
Right.
And everybody wants to be legal over here because it's a real attack that can affect someone's operations.
But I think this is also part of my job as the IT person, talking to the auditor or the pen tester. It's like, here's what you can expect. We are going to attempt a variety of things. We could crash your network. We could destabilize force reboots on machines. Like, we can disrupt production in this process. Because I suspect that lots of folks want, and everybody wants a pen test that is invisible. That not everything is worked normally, but we come away with a report that says, yeah, we were able to break in this way. And that's not real life.
That sounds configuration review.
Yeah, that's fair. And Paul, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the Humanitarian Toolbox. Humanitarian Toolbox builds open source software for disaster relief organizations. One of the leading projects, called 2 Weeks Ready, helps individuals, families, and communities prepare for disasters using smartphones. HTBox builds and operates this and other applications on behalf of a variety of disaster response organizations, and they need your help. Go to htbox.org for more information or to make a tax-deductible donation. HTBox is a 501c3 U.S. registered charity. Your donations help support the creation of this life-saving software. Thanks. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. This is Paula Jay, talking a bit about the audit and pen test process, but basically this validation of level security. And again, I'm coming from this from the perspective of, I know that IT people are struggling to talk to leadership about putting more cycles into securing systems. And so this request of an audit, let's just have a review, to me is also the political process of, we have brought in experts. They say, here's where our vulnerability is. Now we're placing this at the foot of business, making it part of their responsibility too. It's like, we have windows open. We are insecure. When do you want these fixed? And what resources can we have to do them? Do you find yourself doing presentations like this, talking to leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, very often, sometimes at the very beginning of the pen test, sometimes the leadership is even brought to the first project setup calls as well. And we always have an executive summary, which we present to our customers. So it's a matter of presentation, high level, demonstrating how important things are, the ones that we found out, because usually they are, and what kind of things you can do about it, and what it means for the company in terms of risk. We sometimes also end up with security awareness sessions for management as well, demonstrating various attacks, but not in another very technical way, but more in a risk assessment way, and of course with the language that they speak. And what is also important over there is to choose right people that are doing this, because cybersecurity, it's booming right now, and there are so many people claiming that they are doing pen tests,
right,
while for real, they work, for example, with some simple tools.
Yeah.
But what is important is to have still a human at the other end to evaluate what's going on to find a good things.
Yeah, I guess that's part of the challenge is how you really find a good auditor and what good auditor looks like. Like, what do you know? It sounds like it's all a referral business. I know your company's crazy busy all of the time, and you don't really advertise. Like, you're getting, they're calling you. Folks know you. Like, I guess that's the way.
That's definitely the way. And one thing for sure I can say is that the results are strictly related with talent, with skills.
Mm-hmm.
So the more things you want to find, the more talented pen tester you need to hire. And there is no magic about that. And I'm always quite amazed, like, if the company, it's really not investing into cybersecurity in the current times. Of course, there are many priorities and that drives their decision.
Sure.
But sometimes we are seeing that the cheapest offer wins,
yeah.
Which for me, it's quite strange, because in terms of cybersecurity, like that's not really the winning factor here. The winning factor is skill correlated with the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we should look at the pen testers.
Yeah, it's just hard. That's harder to measure, right? That's not a simple thing to measure. It can't purely be cost, because there. I don't know that there really are a lot of standards in things like audits and pen testing. Do you have a certifying body that you care about that evaluates your company?
No, you know, there are many like certificates that someone can present, and
right.
Of course within the team we got them. But what would matter for me if I'll be on the other side and I'm gonna be choosing that pen testing company, what will matter would be definitely the share of experience.
Referrals.
Yep, that referrals, but in general also the culture. So mm-hmm. You are able to recognize what will be the level of culture of the person that you speak with, like what's the communication, what's the commitment, level of commitment, are they interested in what they're gonna do, or they treat it just like another job, because
right.
The problem is this, every infrastructure is different,
yeah.
Therefore it always needs a personalized approach.
Sure.
And whether they are able to present good materials, and by what I'm saying good materials is that, for example, our report, it's like a book,
right.
You read it like a book. So it's not important for me that someone just attacked our infrastructure and that's it, and that's a little bit of recommendations. No, I need extensive recommendations. I need maybe consulting afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know exactly how you managed to get in, because maybe in my opinion that will not be even possible because we let you in, we opened the door a little bit. But normally that won't happen. So we need to know all the details on the other side.
Right. So it sounds like there's several steps to this kind of engagement where, you know, what sort of testing you're going to do. You need to know a fair bit about the customer's network before you can even really make a meaningful proposal. So there's a bunch of upfront work there too.
Yes, there is. So there's always like a questionnaire,
mm-hmm.
Or in general, there is conversation. And of course, one of the things that we ask about, it's size of the infrastructure, technology, the goals, mainly what kind of things they want to achieve,
right.
What they want to focus on, because the time also matters. Like, nobody wants maybe or even has budget for someone sitting for months in their infrastructure to test it.
Mm-hmm.
That's rather very short time that we are talking about. So we are here talking about either 2 weeks, maybe sometimes it could be for a bigger infrastructure, even 4 weeks, but mm-hmm. it's not the shortest time. It's not like, it could be also 3 days. Yeah. But,
right.
But it's also not the longest time. Therefore we have to be prepared for that.
Yeah. You have to have enough time. And it's interesting to just think in terms of, this is not something run in an afternoon after a bunch of preparation.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, this is, there are going to be folks in your office for an extended period of time doing a series of tests and building up, like you said, this book. So, I mean, I would imagine the documentation is each of the tests that we did, how we did it, the results and recommendations from them.
Absolutely. Plus, of course, executive summary.
Right.
That is also important that someone can share and maybe at the end get more budget for another pen test, for another solution that they could implement to make security better.
There's always more to know, right? I feel like I'd like to see someone's report. If I was looking to hire an organization, I'd like to see one of their reports in advance. Although
mm-hmm. Samples,
that's,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, a sample report just from the perspective of, although I don't want anybody's secrets per se, I just want to see what I can expect.
So absolutely. So to ask for the pen test report sample, that's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. And also to ask for referrals, that's a great idea. To also look at someone's presence in general, like what these people do, what this person does, like mm-hmm. who's going to be my team that I'm going to be working with. Can I please meet my team, my potential right. team? Yeah, so who are these people? Because they are the ones that's going to be testing the infrastructure, and these are the ones that I'm going to be working with. Sure. So it's good to have a good flow.
I think it's also a very interesting challenge that often I've dealt with organizations, you know, with, once they get to a certain size where, hey, their A team's astonishing, but also so busy you're never going to get them. And maybe their B team is not as good. So, you know, meeting your team and knowing who you've got and getting some confidence that these are the folks that are going to be able to really evaluate your security for you is pretty important.
Yeah. And actually, that's a very good point, because meeting this team, it's also good to definitely factor here, because some of the companies, but some of them, they do not do it. They request regular meetings to discuss the like a test progress,
right.
different concerns, what worked, what did not, and so on. And that's the way that we all always suggesting. Not everybody wants this. But the thing and the point for these meetings is to verify how IT can react to the ongoing attacks,
right.
and to correlate that, because like we were running that phase of an attack. Okay, what did you guys see?
Yeah,
and they are saying, okay, we saw this. Great, because it's a great lesson for them mainly.
It's a challenge. Yeah, again, like the factory story, it shows that your monitoring infrastructure works. You were aware of our attempts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And at the end, they like all of the teams are learning there. Mm. They're red team, they're blue team. So it's a great thing to have at the end of the day, summarizing what happened. And that means that someone is running pen tests in a like very engaged way. That's right. For sure.
Well, it feels like a very iterative process then. Like you may not be talking every day, although maybe you were. It depends on how long it takes to craft any given test. But certainly after any significant test, you'd want to have a conversation with the ops folks, say, how did that look to you, right? Like, what did it look like? That kind of thing. But also being fair in the sense, like, you may be sitting in the office right now, but you're not using that position to make exploits. You're actually using a service outside to try and come in, I guess, depending on the kind of exploits you're testing against. The risk of, like, what happens in you could kick off a phishing attack from within the organization too, to test that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that works, of course, very mm-hmm. well. We need to know the path. We need to know the point of entry, like who clicked, with what kind of statistics, maybe some follow-up for users. That will be also very good. Mm-hmm. And we are able to observe whether they are able as well to connect the dots, meaning, for example, if the attack happens through phishing and it's successful.
Right.
Now, one of the biggest concerns is, like, how do I learn that that actually came from phishing?
Right.
Like, how do I know? Because it ended up with data being encrypted, and that's it. So how do I move backwards?
What was the vector that brought that encryption tool into my organization?
Yep.
So finding it was a phishing attack versus an exploit or, you know, any other number of means of entry.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is also important to verify, or maybe just simply their incident response procedure, which is definitely something to have for 2022.
Yeah, you would hope. And interesting set of things. I've got to imagine that you end up with so many stories around, you know, each of these. How many times have you been doing an audit and found an exploit was underway? That they already had ransomware planned in the system, just hadn't gone off yet. It was still in the command control exploration phase.
Well, actually, that was a situation like this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that organization was government related.
Let's that's say it polite. This
way. Exactly. So that's even more interesting. So right. It adds some spice to it. But overall, we managed to even see hacker or criminal executing commands live on their systems.
Wow.
And that was awesome, because it really felt like you were doing a right job and you were in an exact place where you're supposed to be to just stop it. So that was pretty amazing. And we were able to see that on their monitoring system, because they were monitoring lots of things, also mainly processes executing on the systems. So by understanding what was happening, we were able to conclude that hacker is right now making copies of files, and that person was uploading it somewhere to the file share portal somewhere out there in the internet.
Right. So they were stealing data from the organization.
That's correct. And also doing a couple of activities like removing shadow copies, checking whether they are there, and so on. So normally there is nothing bad in it, but when you put it all like in one box, that means attack.
Yeah.
And we were able to spot it because they were like, we noticed that unusual activity on our servers. Could you please, guys, look at it? And we're like, absolutely. And that's an incident. So we have to react very quickly. Unusual traffic on servers, that's totally making an incident. Mm-hmm. And then we saw that and we're like, wow, okay, we have to cut it off because it is an attack.
Yeah, the exfiltration is underway right now. They're X many hours away from actually locking it down. They're eliminating backups. They're getting ready to encrypt all of your data. That's got to be chilling too. Like the hair on my arm stand up thinking you're right. Watching hackers working on your customers' data at this moment.
Yeah, it's hard to find something more exciting than this at this work. So you've seen like many situations that companies were losing millions of dollars,
yes,
because they stopped the operations. Okay, but that situation kind of like repeats. But when you look at this situation, that scenario I just mentioned, that's totally exciting and in some way fresh.
Yeah, but you also bring up the issue point. Their instrumentation showed the information that it was going on, but they hadn't put together this is an attack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the thing,
right? That these, it's when you listed off several things at once, which together you're like, clearly that's an attack. But if each one of those is mentioned separately in the coffee room, you don't know what it is. It's not like a big flashing red light turns on when someone's attacking you.
Yeah. Yes. So normally, like, why someone would run these commands in this order? Yeah. So here we go. Yeah, so it was a perfect moment. We saw it. So we were absolutely excited. Everybody was excited. So we managed to stop it. But the funny part about that, and that's also like the second part of the story. Okay, so we said, yes, so in this case, it would be great to do a pen test to verify what was the point of entry.
What was the vector, yeah.
Because good that we found it, but hey, maybe that's going to repeat.
Well, the question is, how do you close it, right? Let's find it because we need to close it.
And we don't know what happened at the time on the other side, but 3 weeks later, they're calling us again because there is another attack going on within their organization.
Wow.
Looks similar. Now we know exactly like what, where, and so on. So we got a thought that the access to their network was also sold on a dark web.
Interesting. So, yeah, and the hacker never necessarily knew. These even I use the word now. The criminal never necessarily knew that they had been found out.
Yeah.
You quietly closed that door, and they're like, "Oh, okay. Well, let's just look for another door." And then there's also, did they plant Trojans that are basically keeping, ways back in available to them? Like, all of this is fascinating to me. Like, this is arguably the best part of the job. And yet you are fighting crime at the time that could get worse. But to me, there's also that frightening part of, at some point, this bomb's going to go off. We're trying to cut the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, by the way, how it usually looks like. Because and there are also different statistics that, for example, like IBM says that hackers are over, like in the network for over 250 plus days before they are getting discovered.
Right.
James Comey, the former FBI director, says similar thing. He says it's like 200 plus days before they are getting discovered.
Right.
That's what we see. For example, we saw hackers sitting 9 months in the infrastructure before they were discovered. So last project, there was about 3 weeks. So funny. So there's always someone like waiting, monitoring the situation, checking like what kind of data would be the most precious,
right,
and then attack that. And statistically also, most of the attacks nowadays, they are focused on money. So here we go. It's a pretty complete scenario.
Yeah. So the criminals are making sure they're going to get the data that's going to be worth the most, that they're able to sell, and or an exploit that's going to be successful. Ransomware is only going to be successful when the backups aren't viable. So you've got to they've got to take the time. You know, you think if they wanted to put out that much effort, they wouldn't be criminals.
Absolutely.
But maybe that's why they take so long. They're not that fast at it.
Right. And also when we were analyzing ransomware not really long time ago, we also noticed like a couple of interesting things happening, particularly this year in various samples, is that they are encrypting only like the first portion of data. So like first 8 megs, for example.
Right.
Then the middle part remains clear text. And at the end, I mean, many things can happen, but usually they add a key that the way how you are using the algorithm, that's something that the cryptor, only the one that you theoretically pay for, would give you. So the middle of the data, it's a clear text. So it's not that bad. Like,
it's not encrypted. I guess that's a speed thing. It takes too long to encrypt really big files. So we'll just
very much
mangle it enough that you can't use it, but that we can undo it.
Exactly. Yeah, so that it increases the chance that someone's going to pay.
Right.
As simple as this.
Yeah, that's all. That's what it's all about. They're there to make money, and whatever increases the likelihood that they're going to make money, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Paula, it's always exciting talking to you, and I really appreciate your insights around the audit problem, and I hope more folks are going to get involved with this. It is a business conversation to have. It's not just an IT conversation, and I hope we can try and equip people to have that conversation with leadership to get better security profiles for their organization.
I totally agree with you, and as always, pleasure. And yeah, like if there's like a final thought to share, maybe, of course, we should test ourselves regularly from the cybersecurity perspective. Maybe there is no like a even special preparation for it, but definitely we need to know our goal. Why do we want to do it? Mm-hmm. What kind of things we would like to achieve? Because sometimes companies, they do it because they just do it,
right,
or it's because they want to be compliant. But there is something good that we can get out of that. And that's important. We need to know the methodology that's used by a certain team. So what kind of tools, ways they're going to use, how they're going to approach us, and so on. And of course, the list of attacks that we need to choose. If we don't know, then let's just have a conversation simply. And we need to make sure that our infrastructure at the end won't get hurt, because that's the goal of a professional checking.
Right.
Of course, things may happen. We need to be ready. But at the end, the goal is that your organization will be all good. Yep. So
well, you'll be able to resist that. And the more times that the criminals fail, the fewer criminals we'll end up with. In the end, if they don't make money from this, they will stop.
Yeah, we are just making it harder.
Yep.
Yeah, for them to attack our infrastructure. So hopefully they're going to pick someone else.
Awesome. Paula, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you, Richard.
We'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.